see when. Hey guys, welcome back to Unleashed. We are so glad that you are with us, and remember, we are the Resistance. Well, we are in the month of October, and for you bow hunters out there, I am so jealous. I want to be in the woods really, really bad. And for you guys know, by now you listen to this, I can get in the woods, I just can't do anything about hunting, right? I can go take a stroll, I can smell the leaves. And, you know, I was thinking about this. If that's really what the things that bring me closer to God is being out there, it never has been the taking of an animal. That fills my freezer, but I don't enjoy that part, but I do enjoy watching. Okay, well, maybe I enjoy the harvesting. But no, I mean, I do. I'm a hunter. I grieve when I do take an animal's life. That is very true. I think most of us do. But it's that being out there watching the, you know, the woods come to life, you know, the squirrels starting to come down the tree and chasing each other. And you can hear the turkeys starting to talk and scratching. And then, like I said, that unmistakable sound of that first white-tailed deer slowly walking, you know, through the leaves. And you're just kind of wondering, is this going to be one of those monsters I've been waiting for? But things didn't go as planned. But I'll tell you something here in a minute. But before we do, Kevin.
Hey.
Good to see you.
Yeah, you too.
yeah, you
I'm
too.
I'm just glad we're getting to see you. It's great.
I know.
It's great news.
Well, there's 20 pounds less of me.
There's 30 pounds less of me.
Dude.
I'm down 30 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you give me some of that?
No. Well, sure, you can have the rest.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Hey, look, it's just a change of diet. That's all it is.
Lifestyle. Well, and sugar, right?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. No sugar and then try not to eat after 6 p.m. Just those two things alone is really all it's taken.
For those of you out there who are trying to quit sugar, let me tell you something. The first week's going to be hard. But after you get into that second and third week.
Oh, yeah, it's easy.
And you realize what it's doing to your body.
Energy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, your body starts taking energy from the right stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And I got a lot of the right stuff.
Did you ever see that movie, The Right Stuff?
Yes, great movie. And then there was also, wasn't there a song, The Right Stuff? I'm going to really get in trouble here with a lot of the fellas, but I feel like it was like New Kids on the Block or someone like
that. I wouldn't know that one. Sorry, that was not my generation. Dun, dun, dun,
dun. Yeah, I think The Right Stuff. Yeah, I think those are pretty much.
Yeah.
It was them or the other group that was a boy band.
Who was the other boy band? The Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, oh, hey, good job. See, now I don't take all the heat.
Well, the only reason that I know that is because a friend of mine's daughter, her name was Crystal Harris, she had a big hit out back then. It was called I'm Supergirl. And she opened up for the Backstreet Boys. True story. And so I go to see her in Chicago, and I get to go backstage with the Backstreet Boys, and I had taken my niece at the time with me. But we're backstage, and what was the guy's name? Howie, I think, was one of the guys.
I do not know that.
He had a scooter, and no, it wasn't Howie. It was one of the other guys. He runs over my shoe with this scooter, and he leaves a big tread mark on the front of this leather shoe. And my niece said, please don't wash that. Can I have that shoe?
I was asking if you could sell it, but the Amazon probably wasn't even a thing back then. So
yeah, right.
How old
right,
you are.
Right. But that's a true story.
That's pretty funny.
I know, but I wasn't into the Backstreet Boys or who did Ice, Baby?
Vanilla
Ice. Yeah.
That song still makes Queen money.
Real? Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That wasn't my genre.
That was definitely mine. I was
Boston,
an 80s
kid. Kansas, the Eagles. I mean, that's my
journey. That 70s stuff is wonderful, but I was just a teenager in high school and in the 80s. So for me, it's all 80s.
All I hear is 80s
all the time.
Carry On My Wayward Son, and yeah, I just want to crank it up.
It's good stuff by Kansas.
I know. Or Journey, Don't
Dust
Stop Believing.
Wind.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Look, Journey's Greatest Hits is one of the best albums ever.
Yeah, it was awesome. And their singer that took over after Steve Perry, he's amazing.
No issues.
Speaking of Don't Stop Believing, this will be the little segue, left turn, Clyde, right? So I go to my doctor, and I was in there today for a follow-up after my quadruple bypass from just four weeks and 3 days. And he's a strong Christian man, and we were talking, and he said, you know what, Brandon? He goes, you have lived a life of faith like very few people have ever done with what you do for a living. And now this, I told him about the whole say when. They're wheeling me into this. I looked at the enemy as, you know, like the surgeon, not him, but the enemy going, go ahead, take your best shot. Say when.
Yeah.
And he started laughing. But it's the whole thing around belief. And here's what he told me that I just told you this as I walked in here because I just found this out. He looked at me knowing that I was supposed to have left for an elk hunt 15 days after my, after they found out that my heart was so blocked. He said, Brent, and he told me twice, you would have had a heart attack if you'd have been at 10,000 feet carrying that pack elk hunting. He says, I looked at all of your stuff that came back from, you know, your heart surgery and the cardiology, because there's no doubt you would have. He says, I didn't know if, you know, what happened the first day or the fifth day, you would have had a heart attack.
If you even got that far.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. You know, and so as Kevin and I were kind of talking about, you know, where to maybe go with this today, I was just telling you I'm going to be, you know, missing deer hunting. Not totally. I have a friend who called me and he goes, hey, I have an above ground blind. He said, it's got stairs going up. He goes, you know, I've got a crossbow that you could use. He said, but I'll drive you to that little thing, you know, and get you up in there. I said, you're not driving me anywhere. I'm walking. I said, I can do that well. We're good. But it was people showing up. But I was thinking about today, you know, when you have disappointments that happen in your life, what do you do with those? Do you see them as, oh, woe is me? Or where is God in this?
I think that coming into this morning, I was like, I bet you that today, and this is going to sound funny, just stay with me for a second, that I'm going to be one of Brent's greatest disappointments. Do you know why?
Well, not because you lost 30 pounds. Impressed the snot out of me.
Yeah, here's the story, guys. It's Brent and Stacy's anniversary, and he's not with her.
Well, she's working.
I know, but you're stuck with me. Sorry.
Well, she didn't have any more PTO. She took 3 weeks off to be with me.
Yeah.
So we're kind of at that financial limit where it's like, yeah, you have to go back to work.
That was a great update that you wrote about her. Not update, but great comment about your anniversary. I really liked it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, she has been the biggest gift in my life. I'll get choked up. You know, when we got married, it was an amazing thing. You know, she's wonderful in so many ways and so beautiful. But the last month, she's had to do it all. Mm-hmm. And I mean, she's had to do every, carrying the laundry, doing the laundry, folding the laundry, you name it. Even when I first got home, I couldn't even put my own socks on. I couldn't do it. She's had to listen to me whine and complain. You know, in the middle of the night, I can't sleep. I'm a side sleeper. I don't know if you are or not.
I am.
But I have to sleep on my back, you know, because of the incision in my chest. Oh. And she has been a trooper. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you. I love that woman so much. And today is our eighth wedding anniversary.
I was going to ask.
I'm a blessed man.
Yeah, that's awesome. You put together some notes for today, which I'm always grateful for.
Well, you know, I threw some stuff together. For some reason, I was thinking you couldn't be on the podcast today, but that's next week. So I'll save that, what I had next week. But what I kind of took some notes on for today is, what do you do, like, when you have, like, this is like deer season, fall. We love fall, right? But what happens in those seasons of life when they don't go as you plan them to go? And that's kind of where I wanted to kind of go with this.
Yeah. My brain rabbit trails a lot, so I'm going to comment on loving fall real fast just because someone asked me the other day, why do you love fall so much? And I'm like, you know, you look around, it's just gorgeous, all these colors. And then I was like, wait a minute, it's because hunting season starts. That's the honest reason. September 1st, I look forward to September 1st every year because it's the opening of dove season, and I'll hunt whatever I can hunt.
Yeah.
So I think that's the real reason.
You know, when I was a kid, I loved, you know, I would hunt rabbit and squirrel and grouse and stuff. I don't take the time with small game anymore. I want it to be the big stuff, right? I think it's because it fills my freezer. The challenge is so great.
Yeah.
I mean, when you do it, like bear hunting, when you go, you're going after something that could go after you.
Yeah, it's the hunt. It's the hunt. You're not just shooting.
Well, one of my favorite sayings of all time that I've used for years says, adventure begins when plans go bad.
Huh. Sounds like Winnie the Pooh. Isn't there some quote about...
I've never heard that from Winnie the Pooh, but okay.
Some kind of great adventure. I feel like that's what Christopher, whatever his name is, wrote.
Christopher Robin?
Yeah.
And what was the lion's name? Tigger?
Tigger.
Whatever.
Yeah. And then Eeyore.
I know.
All right, well, let's see. You asked me a question.
Well, there you go, Eeyore. What happens then? Like, when your plans go bad, do we have that Eeyore attitude? Or are we going to have more of like a Tigger, you know? Yeah.
And it is so much a matter of the heart, like most things are, but and actually probably heavily a matter of the mind.
Yeah, right? What's the lens that you're seeing through?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we were just talking about that at church recently in our Sunday school class, It's like there's a million worldviews you can have, but you need to have a word view, not a worldview.
Good point.
Yeah.
I wonder what it was like. I was just thinking back about Joseph. You know, he gets thrown in prison. You know, his brothers betray him. And how long is he in there? He's got to be thinking, I mean, this isn't just missing a deer season, right?
It's missing a lot of things.
Yeah.
The food he probably was being able to be afforded, the freedom, obviously, the fun, like all that stuff just taken away.
And yeah. Just gone. I mean, I was going through scriptures. I'm looking at so many different things. You know, there's you know, when Peter betrays Jesus, you know, that season for a time, you have to sit with it. What have I done? That's what it was like. Now, luckily, I only found out within a week of my surgery I was going to have open heart surgery, so I didn't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
But in that 1 week, let me tell you, my mind was going everywhere. The what ifs, right? I always say, like, when I'm working with people and coaching them, you know, the areas that the enemy loves to hit us, you know, past and future thinking. You know, the past is all about, you know, wish I would have, could have, should have stuff, right? But the future is the what ifs. What if... what if I have to have open heart surgery? What if I get cancer? What if I lose my job? What if my wife leaves me? My daughter gets pregnant. My son is on drugs. Those are all future things. But God, in the middle of those things, what I found is he stayed with me in the moment every single day. Not just leading up to the surgery, but every single day I'm literally sitting in a chair, not being able to do anything. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do today? Oh, look, there's a chair over there. I'll get up and go sit over there for a while.
Yes.
But even when I would go to a different chair, the presence of God was thick. He was just holding me and saying, I have a purpose and a plan for this. Trust me.
Yeah. Joseph's, well, so his, it's interesting because his position ends up being, he's got to interpret dreams, right? And then later we hear, you know, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. Like that's that Genesis 50:20. But the pressure he had on him, you can tell he didn't go into that with a disappointment mentality. Because the pressure he had on him was other people tried to interpret the dreams and they didn't. Right?
Yeah.
Find me somebody, guys. And if I'm not, I need to dig into the scripture again. But if I'm not mistaken, some of them that tried to interpret the dreams, I don't think they lived past getting it wrong. If I'm not mistaken. So, you know, those stories probably got shared, and then they were like, oh, Joseph, good luck, buddy.
What are some disappointments? Let's just bring this back personally. What are some of the disappointments between you and I? We're like sitting here. Some of the things you've faced in your life. Could be recent, could be 20 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I think the first thing is, you know when you disappoint the Lord. You do something you know you weren't supposed to do. You choose to sin when you know you're going to sin. I mean, those things are huge disappointments to me because I know I've disappointed the Lord. And then that in turn reflects on me. Now, becoming a father and having kids, I understand differently how that disappointment looks as a father. My kids could disappoint me to the ends of the earth, and I will love them no matter what.
Right.
And so I go, oh, that's incredibly healing for me to know that my Father in heaven, who also I've disappointed, looks at me the same way and much more so, right?
I saw this woman one time, and she was shaming her daughter because she had done something that was not okay. And she was, you have broken the heart of God. And she was using the tears and the emotional manipulation to get her to do what she wanted her to do or thought she should do. And it bothered me because God never uses that kind of stuff to get us to, right? Grace, love. Now, there's consequences, but he doesn't shame you into obedience. And here's one of the things I think it's important to remember, because what you just said was perfect about, like, when your child does something, you still love them no matter what. Just because our sin, we talk about breaking the heart of God, it doesn't go to the point of like, oh, he's got to be on Prozac now. You know, God doesn't have to deal with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But he loves us enough to go, you know, yeah, that wasn't okay. And it's because it's going to hurt you.
Yeah.
So let's work on that issue together.
Yeah. I think the second thing, Brent, is I know when I've disappointed my wife.
Yeah, that's the worst.
And she doesn't have to let me know, although she's pretty good at that. Love you, Sky. Get out of jail free card right there.
Right.
No, she knows I'm just an honest man that way. So, but yeah, I think here's again, when we got married, the commitment we made to each other was beyond each other. I think I've talked about this before. The commitment we made was to God. It's Genesis 15-ish. And Abraham's been put into this dark, weird sleep. But right before that, God has asked him to bring him, whatever it is, three heifers, three goats, a pigeon, a dove. I can't remember all the animals. He takes the bigger one, splits them in half. And then God goes between it, right, with a lamp and an incense. I can't remember. But God creates this covenant with him, right? How did I get there? So, like, when I think about with my wife and the disappointment and the ultimate going to, well, what commitment did we make when we got married? The commitment we made was basically like that with Abraham. It was like a covenant with God.
Yeah.
And we had God at the forefront of the covenant. And so with God with Abraham, God was like, I'll be the one that's establishing this covenant, not Abraham. So he gets to go to sleep. Abram at the time, right?
Right.
Right after he becomes Abraham. And so like with me and my wife, it was like, hey, we know we're going to disappoint each other. Like, we're going into this marriage.
Right.
We're young and immature by all means, and we don't even know what that experience is going to feel like, but we do actually know we're going to disappoint each other. We already have in the dating relationship, so how are we going to stop doing that just because we got married?
Yeah.
But when you have made the decision that the covenant isn't between people, but it's between God and whomever, us, it's a whole different world. So I hate disappointing her, but I can, what's the right word? Not rest easy, Brent, but not be concerned that she's going to hold it against me. It's going to fester. It's going to grow into something, maybe become divorced. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah. I think honesty is so important. I think that's what we're talking about here is because I know, like with Stacy and I, there have been times that for a moment, it could be a day, could be a week. We've kind of not told the other one about something because we didn't want them to be upset about something. Maybe it's running into like an old boyfriend or girlfriend or something.
Sure.
And you're like, oh, there was nothing there, but I didn't want to say I ran into them kind of a deal.
Or took him to lunch.
Right. No. We're not even going down that path. But, you know, that was something that kind of happened with us, to be honest with you, and just be honest about it. And she kind of waited to say, I ran into somebody. And I was like, well, I mean, you couldn't help that, you know. She goes, I know, I just didn't want to bother you. And I said, well, I appreciate your honesty. Thank you. And it was the same. Now, this is where it came back and bit me. I was having chest pain for off and on for about 6 months. Mm. I'll be mowing grass, and I get a little bit doing the training for this elk hunt on the treadmill with a backpack. And I didn't want to tell her because I didn't want to be worried. And there was one night that it lasted, and I'm saying this out loud now. I told her, but no one else knows this. It lasted for about an hour at bedtime one night. Mm. And I was like, okay, I don't want to go to the hospital at 11 o'clock at night. I don't want this to be true. So I'm just going to ignore it, and I'm not going to tell her. And after all this stuff happened, I came back and I said, I need to apologize to you because I actually knew something about a week before this actually whole thing happened that something wasn't right. Mm. I just kind of wanted to plug my ears and close my eyes, you know, and like, I'm going to ignore it. That's not loving you well. I need to be honest with you in all things. Mm. And I think that's important for all of us because trust is built through honesty. When we make a withdrawal from a relationship, you know, it's like it takes five deposits to get back to where we were. But I really believe this. We will disappoint our spouse. But when we come back and say, I need to be honest with you because I love you. And usually that is the trust builder right there. We were honest. Now we can talk through, well, why did you feel like you needed to withhold that from me?
Yeah, what caused the delay?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I can think of many times. So I'm just going to keep layering it onto it. So then there's disappointing my children. And that takes form in a different manner than disappointing God and disappointing my spouse, I believe. I think the way I disappoint my children is not that, oh, Dad didn't do something that they expected me to do. I think the way I disappoint my children is, and there's scripture about this, about parents not frustrating your children. Mm-hmm. I think that's how I disappoint my children, is when I frustrate them. Dad, you said this one time, and then you said the other this time, like the opposite. Or, you know, you told me to blank, but then you got mad about blank.
Right.
So I think that's probably, those are the biggest areas. I have by all means disappointed a boss, and I don't care. I can't remember because I don't care. I mean, at the time, it was probably important, but I definitely am a get over it guy.
Yeah.
So those things don't matter to me very much. But, you know, my Lord, my wife and my children are.
Well, the children are big for me too, because, you know, years ago I wrote a song called "Love Is Spelled Time." Mm-hmm. You know, in the eyes of a child, love is spelled T-I-M-E, time. I've heard that used so many times, Dobson, so many different ones use that thing, but it's so true. And as I've gotten older and my kids are older, you still got to remember they're your kids. And you'll get busy with stuff. You're thinking, well, I'm at that point in my life. They've been out of the house now, and I've got things that I want to do. You know, they're still your kids. You have to remember they mean enough to you to make that three-hour trip to drive where they live and spend a day. Let's go have pizza. Let's go to the zoo. Let's do something and tell stories, connect. How are you now? And I think that's one of the ways that for me as a father, that I have or could disappoint my children is remembering life is about others. It's not all about yourself.
If I could have cued Cats in the Cradle faster, I would have played in the background for you.
Wow, isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
You know, this last week, I was thinking, too, about, you know, today's our wedding anniversary.
I heard it's your eighth.
It's our eighth. And date nights are really important to us. Every single week, we make sure we have a date night. I know you guys do that. We've talked about this. But date nights for the first few weeks, you know, what was date night? She's sitting in the chair next to me saying, what can I get you, right?
Yeah, you get some Jell-O.
Yeah, right. Hey, would you like some pudding? Here, let me get you a bib. I'll go get the bed turned down. I know it's only 6 o'clock, but you might want to go to bed early. You know, it's that date night, that connection that we have. And here's something that I didn't even realize. Me driving, masculine.
And you said today was the first day.
Today, yeah, I was clear to drive. Actually, awesome. It was yesterday, but today's kind of the first day of being out. Getting the door for her, especially going into a restaurant. The first couple of times we actually went out, she was driving, and we went somewhere to go to dinner, and she's having, like, Roadhouse, the doors are heavy. And I couldn't do it because I'm not allowed to pull.
Yes.
And here's all these, you know, guys watching, and she's opening the doors for me. And I'm telling you, I was like, really?
The next, you, like, pull your hat down over your eyes?
I know. And then when I get in there to get my drink, I say, can I have a straw with that? I'm kidding. I don't use straws.
I can't lift this.
I can't lift this. But it's that, even making sure that I'm walking on the right side of the road where she's on the inside, away from traffic. All of those things that as a man, the way that I was brought up and taking care of a woman, all of a sudden when that's kind of gone, now that, I mean, I was having to be careful when I was walking because I couldn't just be out by a car. If I had to move quick and trip and fall, it could
not
be good.
Yeah, I remember asking you, so the 26th of this month, we're going to have, every year, our guys at our church go out behind the church and we shoot skeet.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're like, yeah, I can't really shoot a gun yet, Kev, because...
I knew a guy named Skeet. That's not what you're talking about, right?
Hopefully not.
Yeah.
But all the, like, the vibrations, the repercussions, and the pressures, like, you just can't...
Yeah, you got a 12-gauge all of a sudden on your shoulder, and it's giving you that kick. Your breastbone could just be like...
So I can imagine that falling wouldn't be good.
Yeah, I have to be real careful with that.
Yeah. That's funny, because sometimes when we're trying to be extra careful and we're not used to it, that screws us up.
I know.
You got to be extra, extra, extra careful.
Yeah.
Extra careful about being extra careful.
But, you know, that was the whole thing, because there's a disappointment. Like, yeah, I'd love to go shoot that. I want to go hunting. I can't draw a bow.
Yeah.
So bringing it kind of back, we talked about disappointments, our wife, you know, our God, our children. What do we do with those disappointments, whether they're things that happened to us or things that we created? What do we do with those?
Well, I mean, the obvious answer is we have to, and this is not easy always, right? But we have to turn over to the Lord and recognize that he is faithful in all things. And I think, you know, part of it is maybe if we look at the other side of disappointment, potentially that's hope, maybe. I think we know a lot about deferred hope too, right? So Proverbs 13, for instance, and our hope is in the Lord. And that mentality and that heart. So there's the mindset. Is there a heart set? Would that be the right word?
Yeah.
The mindset and the heart set, they just have to be focused on the Lord. Like, there's nothing in this earth that can take that place. There's nothing in this earth that can deliver relief, at least not anything more than fleeting or temporary relief, from the things that we've done wrong. And oftentimes disappointment is the things that we've done wrong. But other times disappointment is the things that we miss out on. Right, like the FOMOs or the whatever else is. I guess we'd call it FOMO, fear of missing out, instead of DOMO, disappointment for missing out. But in all those, it's like this is so temporary, right? The situation that I'm in, like we fully expect you're hunting next year.
Yeah,
and probably feeling better at in the wilderness than you felt in years, because you now got more blood flowing to your heart.
Yeah, and I think even thinking to my buddy that offered for me to take me hunting sometime next month, can I possibly get up into a shooting house? You guys know what I'm talking about, an above ground blind, and maybe use a crossbow, which I don't normally do. I'm a bow hunter. Yeah, I think there's a chance of that. Now, luckily, he's got like a front loader he could drive back into the woods with. You know, it's his property. He could help me get the thing out. So I think there's a chance of that. But what comes with
a scissor lift?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
What comes with it? Hope.
Yeah.
And I think we need hope. And that's what I, when you were talking about disappointing, like whether it's our wife or our kids, the sooner, and God, the sooner we can come and saying, I was wrong. I was believing a lie, and that's why I didn't give you the whole truth. I think so many times, well, I didn't lie about it. No, but you didn't tell the whole truth, which is deceit, which is a form of lying.
Right.
And I think the sooner that we can go, you know what, I did do that. I was responsible for that. Figure out why we did it, and then be able to say, hey, I'm not trying to explain this away, but I want you to know what I was thinking. And here's what God is teaching me through that, and I am so sorry. You know, you can carry a lie for a year, you can carry it for a week, but you're carrying it.
Yeah.
And I always say this, if you bury it, you carry it. If you deny it, you're still carrying it. And I think that's so important that God's saying, you're going to make mistakes.
If you deny it, you lie in it.
That's right.
I was trying to think of a rhyme there.
I know, if you bury it, you carry it.
If you deny it, you lie in it.
But the sooner we can come to grips with, I did make a mistake, and I do need to have a repentant heart, the stress that it takes off of you.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's a lot better than losing only 30 pounds.
Yeah, it is.
That's where this goes, oh. It's an, there's probably a coined term for it, but the it's not physical weight, but the weight, that burden, it is immense. It feels like you're being pushed down.
Yeah.
It literally feels like it's a real weight.
Well, and the doctor has said to me before, like with when you start getting hypertension, when you're working too many hours, Kevin.
Who does that?
when you know, it's that whole thing when you're carrying more than what you're able to do and be able to maintain a restful, peaceful life, your blood pressure begins to go up. And what happens when that happens, we begin to run to other things to make ourselves feel better in the moment. But God's saying, no, come to me, all ye who are weary and laden and heavy and burdened. I will give you rest. Yes. Is it Psalm 100? What is it? Is it 55:20? Psalm 55:22, I think it is. And it's talking about cast your cares on the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big part of it, because my cares aren't just because of a heart thing that just happened to me. Well, here, God, take this. What led me to all the hypertension, all the stuff that I was carrying all these years? God, I need you to help me with that. You just brought a surgeon into my life that just fixed four of my arteries that were going to kill me. But what I need you to do, God, is I need you to give me a clean heart inside and out. And that means sometimes sitting in a chair like I'm doing many days right now.
Yeah.
And realizing he is God.
Just give us a picture of how much has there been a shift of you just, quote unquote, sitting around versus being, you know, more active and... Like, do you feel like you're 50% there, 30? Like, where are you at?
I asked the doctor that today. I said, what's my recovery going to look like? He says, well, a lot of people between 4 and 6 weeks, like you are now, you're getting up, you're getting out, you're only lifting light. He said, I think you're going to surprise, because I go to cardiac rehab tomorrow for the first time. He goes, I think you're going to surprise them, because they're not used to people being up this quick. He said, that's good, because you've stayed in shape. He said, but you're probably looking at about 3 months, your life is going to take a pretty big turn. And by 6 months, and he goes, you should be able to find your new normal. And I just looked at him and I said, I don't like those words.
New.
New normal?
Is it the one new? Is it the word new?
Yeah. Does that mean I'm going to settle? This is my new normal? I said, if I've got 4 new open arteries. Yeah.
Well, maybe your new normal is even better than your previous normal.
That's what I told him.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about. Say when.
I know. That's right. He says, well, and that's the thing is, and he goes, it really is about discipline. He goes, because you've been doing this for a long time, you know, exercising and doing that. He goes, yeah. Some people would just kind of give up and go, well, I'm going to be 65. I'll be 65 this coming, was it Sunday? And he said, but because you worked this, and you know, think about that, because you've worked it into your life, what does Scripture say? What does the Word of God say about working Scripture into our lives? What is the man who built his house on sand or on the rock?
or Timothy or all kinds of options.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to work the Word of God into your life. So my recovery plan, what's it going to look like? Whatever God leads, that's where we're going to be.
New normal.
My new normal.
You need to write a song called New Normal.
I don't know. I don't like those words.
How about, well, you don't like them, but your new normal, again, if it's better, why wouldn't
you? How about Abby Normal?
Abnormal?
Remember that young Frankenstein?
I don't.
What's his name? I think it was Abby. Abby Normal? He goes, you put an abnormal brain in a 7-foot tall. You remember that, young Frank?
I remember young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Gene Wilder?
Yes. Terry Garr.
And Gene was dating, what's her name at the time? She had to be in it.
Oh, yeah.
The other comedian.
Yeah, she was Gilda Radner.
Yeah, Radner. Yeah.
Yeah. Great movie.
I'm getting it confused with Transylvania 65,000, though, so.
Yeah, I don't know that one, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I do. I think it's a lot about what's, if your mind is renewed, you're following through then because it becomes in you. There's another scripture that talks about, don't worry about the words when you're brought to trial, for they will be given to you. It's that. It's that scripture bubbling up inside of you going, God is saying this. Other people can say this, but God says this. What are his promises? Can I rely on God's promises? You bet I can. I've seen them over and over in my life. All right, so then say when.
Yeah. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 4, I just looked this up, 8 through 9. We are afflicted in every way. That's that burden, right? But not crushed.
Yeah.
So the weight's there, but we're not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed.
Yeah, that's, you have to have been there to have written those words.
Oh, right?
You have to have been there.
Yeah, that doesn't, oh, I bet they probably felt this way. No, you had to have been there.
When I'm driving now and I see someone going slow, you know, you don't know.
I know, and it drives me nuts, but you're right.
It's true. We see people like, you're moving so slow. Maybe they just had open heart surgery. This is their first time driving. Now, the odds of that might be against it, but I had my first drive yesterday.
Look, the other day we were driving down Scatterfield, and for a mile and a half, it's a two-lane road going our direction, 4 total lanes, right? For a mile and a half, we were going 30 to 45 and about came out of my skin.
Yeah, I get it.
And it was not just one driver.
Yeah.
Get out of the way, people.
I get it.
But you're right.
But what the gift in my
you
challenge
have no idea
is,
why.
My gift right now and the challenge is this. It has caused me to slow down, and I see things through a different lens.
3 miles an hour, baby.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yep. Well, man, I think we can wrap it up. I think we've kind of just run this course today with everything we've got, and I've been seeing someone keep coming and staring in the window here. So no matter where you are today, we just want to encourage you to know something, that those disappointments that you have in your life, whether they've happened to you or whether you've created a disappointment for someone else, give it to God. Cast your cares upon Him. He will take it. He will renew you. He will help you fly like we talk about on wings of eagles. You will run the race strong. Because when a man knows who he is in Christ, that he's been created in the image of the living God, when he is no longer held captive by the opinions of others or cares whether he lives or dies, that man is now extremely dangerous. Dangerous for good, because he's been unleashed. We'll see you next time.